You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Mark Anderson, AFP's roving editor, where he is right now in Watford, England. Right, Mark?
That is correct. June 5th, we're starting out our coverage, Team AFP, you might say, of Bilderberg 2013. That's myself, having taken over for Jim Tucker, along with Pete Papaheracles and former Congressman Jim Traficant, kind of divvying it up and coming at it. Every Bilderberg conference is different, and it promises to be a challenge, but we're ready for it.
So you left yesterday, right, from the United States?
That's right. It's been a tiring day. The first day covering Bilderberg always is. But we've done some scouting and we're having a lot of conversations with a lot of people. I am especially tonight where I'm at and learning everything we can. And there's been some new developments, although we're on the cusp here or the eve of Bilderberg. There'll be a lot more to report, of course, in the next 2, 3, 4 days.
I've never traveled across the pond. What time did you leave here, East Coast time?
It was around 7 p.m. Actually, I was in Chicago, so that was Central time. If you fly over the pond, you are going forward in time. It's later where you're going. It's kind of tricky, but we ended up getting in, I did, that is, about 8:40 a.m. local UK time. You're basically just flying overnight, going at the sun as the sun is rising to meet you.
That's pretty cool. So it's 5 hours difference, so it took about 7 hours.
Yeah, a little bit more maybe, but in that ballpark, that's correct.
And right now, your time, I guess it is 10 o'clock or a little bit after 10 p.m.
That is correct.
So you've been going the whole day, basically.
Yeah, aside from a little bit of rest, just gathering some intel, talking to people, talking to the local press, reading the local press, just getting the whole skinny on how much awareness there is as this thing shapes up. One thing that some contacts of mine found was the people living around the Grove Hotel, this very posh place on a very spacious, beautiful, hilly piece of land where the Bilderberg Group is meeting. The people living around a very nice area around the perimeter had no idea why there were police helicopters flying above their houses today and why there's such a huge police and police canine presence that Bilderbergers don't even bother telling the neighbors that their tranquility is going to be upset.
Well, that's because they're the elite. They don't care.
Yes, it's true. But you'd think they could at least engage in some niceties like that just for formality's sake. But I guess not. I guess they don't even do that in their, you know, secretive and undemocratic and unaccountable world planning that they do year after year.
Yeah, if you think about it, right, let's say the police department notified the citizens what was happening. I think it's the Hertfordshire Police Department. And they went out and told every citizen, look, we're going to have a bunch of people coming in around this date and just want to let you know about it. There's going to be increased security. Well, who's coming here? Well, these people who meet to talk about, you know, the future of the world, that's all. What are they going to say, right?
That's true. As soon as you start talking about it, you have to keep talking about it.
Exactly.
Very well put, Dave. Exactly. But on a slightly more serious note, one thing that's going to be going in American Free Press on the front page that I wrote to combine with some other contributions from others is about an apparent move on Bilderberg to call for a global profit tax or something along those lines. And what seems to be afoot is that the Prime Minister David Cameron's 10 Downing Street administration has been engaging in kind of a shadow boxing with Google, talking about, well, Google needs to pay a better share of their UK taxes. And Google's going, no, no, don't make us do it. Don't make us do it. But some informed sources here are telling me that it's kind of a Punch and Judy show to get the public riled up over, oh, those darn corporations, those rapscallions, they do need to pay more. But then when it comes around, they'll slip out of the tax and they'll slip the tax around your neck and mine in terms of the middle class once again having to pay and pay some more.
Well, that's what we're here for. Now, of course, Bilderberg nowadays, compared to even just 2 years ago, is a completely different event. You know, because you've been to the last couple of Bilderbergs. I don't know how many you've been to. How many have you been to?
This is the fourth.
Bilderberg is starting, I guess, tomorrow, right? The 6th to the 9th.
They'll start rolling in about noon, 1 o'clock.
Well, now it's turned into this pretty amazing event where not the mainstream media, but the alternative media has all of a sudden awoken to Bilderberg. And besides Alex Jones and all the other folks who try to bring alternative news to the wary masses, they're doing a pretty good job on Bilderberg. They even have this, and I don't know if you heard about this, but this Bilderberg Fringe Festival.
Yeah, I wrote about it, although I didn't go into it in great detail, an issue or two ago of American Free Press. There is some question now, however, because once you get here, you learn new things and new developments and you get a clearer view. There is some question on the scope of the Bilderberg Festival, the Fringe Festival, whether it will go off quite as planned. Maybe it's a lack of funding that came up. Maybe it's some other regulations or rules by the local authorities. There's still going to be speakers and media tents, as AFP has reported, but whether the festival will be a full-fledged outright festival in the true sense of the word is somewhat open to question. So we'll see. I'll know a lot more about that tomorrow and the next day. But yeah, they're trying to create more of a sizzle about all this, in part to attract more people's attention and more media's attention. Maybe it kind of downplays the seriousness of Bilderberg in its own way, but on the other hand, it calls more attention to it. So we'll see what happens if the festival goes off as planned in the full sense and what exactly the results are. Are the results the way they're hoped for? How will the people react? And that's soon to be revealed.
Do you know anything about these people who are putting this festival on?
It was mainly organized, at least in terms of the idea, by Charlie Skelton, a Bilderberg commentator with The Guardian in England, and his wife, Hannah. At least they got the idea. I mentioned in AFP that a slightly obscure group called Passing Clouds was floating the idea, and they have a meeting place at a London address. I have not met them in person. But that, too, is a little bit of a topic of conversation and speculation right now. People are being a bit mum about who exactly put up the money. There's some estimations that it would take several thousand dollars to throw a real festival and have bathroom facilities, portable bathrooms, and have some police permit costs, regulations. It's a new thing to Bilderberg. I've been in it 4 years. Jim Tucker, of course, who recently passed away, God bless his soul, was in it for over a quarter of a century. And I don't think anything quite like this has ever happened. So therefore, we really don't know what to expect. But we'll find out a lot more about the sponsors. Hopefully, it'll have the effect of calling more attention to the people that live in and around Watford, right around the perimeter of the hotel. And so more people, the average person, are just saying, what is Bilderberg? Because that's what we want. We want people to ask. But AFP, of course, American Free Press, our job is to give them a serious answer, to say, this is elite gathering once a year of the very creme de la creme of royalty and bankers and media moguls and prime ministers and finance ministers. They don't get together to talk about badminton. They don't get together to talk about fox hunting. Google, Dave, Google had a forum here right before Bilderberg did at the same hotel, at the Grove Hotel. You know how much Google spent per day?
Go ahead.
Reportedly, $250,000 per day. And that's without all the security. That's without the local constabulary. That's without all the fringe benefits, you might say, that the Bilderberg old timers, the old money crowd, the elite would spend. So some are estimating that Bilderberg could easily be spending $300,000, possibly even $400,000 a day. Now that is speculation, but they're not going to spend anything approaching that kind of money to just get together and say, well, the reason we have these meetings secretive is so we can feel open, so we feel like we can open up. We don't have press sitting around with their notebooks open. Well, come on now. A punch in the eye is still a poke in the eye. Let's not play with semantics. If you put all that kind of influence under one roof, they're going to collude. That's what they do. They should not be given that kind of privilege. If you want public office, if you want positions of influence, then you have a social responsibility. You have a public responsibility, whether you like it or not. You don't get the privilege of being able to do everything privately. If you're at home with your families or just a few friends having a cookout, that's different. You put that kind of power under one roof, you have a responsibility.
Yeah, that's well said. Absolutely. Have you come into contact with any other like-minded individuals?
You mean in terms of the people trying to expose and explain Bilderberg, you mean?
Yes.
Yes, certainly. There's editors with a noted newspaper here, the UK Column. There's other freelance journalists. Of course, they're multiplying like crazy, especially since last year in Chantilly, Virginia, at that Bilderberg, where there was a lot of real-time internet streaming going on, more so than ever before. That was the big change last year in Virginia. Lots of internet streaming, lots of real-time video at the scene of Bilderberg. The Washington Post finally coming out of hiding and reporting on Bilderberg, rather than just sending their CEO and saying nothing about it. That's Donald Graham. This year, though, I called the Washington Post, footnote here, and talked to a lady that works for Donald Graham, and she was so lackadaisical, Dave, so indifferent to the whole thing. Yes, Mr. Anderson, I've heard of Bilderberg. Well, I really don't know what's going on there. It's really just kind of a private affair. It's really not a big thing. That kind of sentiment, that kind of comment. Same thing with the Wall Street Journal. Well, Paul Jagot of the Wall Street Journal editorial editorial page, one of the editors, he used to go, but the press isn't allowed in. So it's not that big of a deal to us. The Wall Street Journal told me yesterday. And in a way, I didn't know what to say. I'm kind of angry. But on the other hand, I'm kind of saying to them, well, it's a lot of influence under one roof. If a real reporter is told this is private, he or she gets the story anyway. And that's what I told both.
Did they seem phased?
No, they seem so indifferent, like stretching and yawning. Oh, Bilderberg, yes, whatever. Almost like we're talking about a tennis club or a sewing outfit, maybe a quilting club. I mean, really, it's sad how unmotivated those particular people sounded. Paul Gigot, again, the Wall Street Journal editorial page editor, his assistant, and then at the Post, the assistant of Donald Graham.
Well, that's cool that you called them because they exhibited the exact response that they always have been exhibiting. And that's like, yeah, you're annoying me. You know, this Bilderberg thing doesn't mean anything. Do you have anything else to tell me, right?
Right. And, you know, I don't mind saying I don't always shine a big light that says I am a reporter. You know, sometimes they get calls from so-and-so that are a disgruntled reader. They get calls from lots of people that are lots of things. And they need to hear from many different angles that readers as well as other press and observers are unhappy with their laziness and their indifference.
That's great. I'm glad you called them. That's perfect.
There's other emails and notes that have went out over the last week or two, not just by me, but by a number of people I know, trying to get a response, trying to say there's something happening here above and beyond the ordinary. There are some scandals involving UK politicians, and those scandals involve UK politicians that often happen to attend Bilderberg meetings. And that, of course, draws a line from the scandal to Bilderberg. Kenneth Clark, a UK official here, is one of them. There could be something potentially, I'm being very tentative, but potentially quite explosive there. I can't disclose what it is in part because I don't totally understand it, but keep the name Kenneth Clark in mind. And we'll see what shapes.
I took a list of the people who are going to be there. Pretty big names. You got, I think, a couple of prime ministers. You've got the Chancellor of the Exchequer for the UK.
That's Osborne, right? If memory serves.
I don't remember the name.
The monetary people are particularly important because there's a reorganization of the Royal Bank of Scotland going on here right now. There's that global tax I mentioned where they're doing the sleight of hand. Banking is such a huge thing with Bilderberg to keep the usurious system that enslaves all of mankind
right,
in place.
Right, right. It's mostly bankers.
Right. Yeah, and the think tanks are huge. The people that do all the heavy intellectual lifting on the behalf of these moguls and these mountebanks and these gilded gangsters, as I call them. Yeah, you're right, Dave. Although the list that's out right now could probably be refined a little bit. There might be a couple names to add. There might be a couple names to subtract. But the list alone, I think, should be hand-delivered to all the people that live around the Grove that were out today going, what are all these helicopters doing above me home?
There you go. They do talk like that. I mean, it's late. You're probably just going to crash and get ready for tomorrow. So what's on the agenda for tomorrow?
Well, really, the arrival of the elite. Here come the black sedans. Here come these buses that bring 9 or 10 of them in at a time with the darkest tinted windows ever made, ever.
I believe it.
And getting a camera shot through there, you might as well try and photograph Pluto with your iPhone. They know what they're doing, and they're going to try and get people in as secretively as possible. There's rumors that there's a back entrance that the police say is closed off, and all the Bilderberg attendees can only come through the front entrance right past our press tent. However, some of us don't want to be, that naive, and we're thinking, okay, you're telling us that, but really, if a sensitive one like Hillary Clinton or certain other sensitive American or foreign ministers or politicians want to come in, and it's a particularly sensitive one that they don't want anyone to know they're there. You know, come on. If you wanted to bring him in the back way, you could. Let's not mince words here.
And what's her name is going too? Christine Lagarde. She's the head of the IMF.
I believe the head of the World Bank is no longer Robert Zoellick, the former U.S. Trade Commissioner. I believe that's changed. A young French guy is now the head of the steering committee. Davignon, a Belgian, used to be, I think he gave up the scepter a couple years ago. It's evolving, as I've reported and others have. There's this new Googleberg element where a lot of the high-tech, new technology is really changing the face of Bilderberg, Facebook, Google. They've been there 5 or 6 years. They started having their own Googleberg meetings on their own. But there's a real merger or mixing going on here. Partially, I think, because these high-tech companies are involved in surveillance, and surveillance is good for business for these gilded gangsters.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Jeff Bezos is supposed to be there, and he's the head of Amazon. And also, I think David Petraeus.
Yes, your friend and mine, David Petraeus. You know, he could be an honorable guy in some ways. Maybe these scandals against him, maybe they weren't totally his doing. Maybe there was somebody that framed him, whatever. But he's still breaking bread with these when he's not talking to the Houston Council on World Affairs or these other global affairs councils. councils around all over the U.S. There's 50, 60, 70 of them that are like little Bilderberg juniors that talk about these agenda items but never use the word Bilderberg so people don't connect the dots too easily. Mm. But Petraeus, that almost comes out automatically. Petraeus, there's a good Freudian. Petraeus has often addressed these global think tanks, and the think tanks are where they think about what they're doing. That's where they write their papers and determine their direction.
Well, it's going to be exciting, and I will be standing by all day tomorrow to get on-the-spot reports.
Yeah, hopefully the technology will smile on us. We're going to be operating in a sort of makeshift way. One way or another, we'll make it happen, Dave. So with that, I hope this first report at least sets the tone, and me and others on the AFP team will keep it up, look for videos, and of course, stories, hard copy, and online. And I encourage listeners to follow AFP because we've been the leader with Jim Tucker, and we're carrying that over.
You are right, Mark. I appreciate it. Thanks for your time, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. A jolly good evening to you.
Good evening, Dave.